The military is great at attracting and training excellent leaders. They do well in the business world, but they're not managing there very effectively because they have a massive bureaucracy that treats everybody as equal.
And you start off talking to this gentleman, John Nagel, who Rhodes Scholar, just a tank battalion operations officer in Iraq. I mean, just as I'm reading, I was just like, oh, my goodness. We talk about the best and the brightest. These are the kinds of people that you want to attract.
Right. There's a Rhodes Scholar every year that comes out of West Point, out of the Air Force Academy, out of the Naval Academy. I mean, they're real superstars. But John's important because he's a real intellectual. He started writing on counterinsurgency doctrine while he was a cadet and realized this was the future of the kind of wars that we're going to be in. Around the time that David Petraeus wanted to come up with a new strategy because what was being used in Iraq wasn't working, he turned to John. John helped him write the new counterinsurgency doctrine. Mm. And so to see a guy like that, and he's not made general, he's not even made full colonel, and he gets out of the service, well, I started to dig, and I found out nobody makes general before they can retire in the Army, which is kind of a backwards way of thinking. You can't make senior management in an organization like that before you can retire.
And you also quote, during World War II, German generals often complained that U.S. forces were unpredictable. We had trained our armed forces not to do exactly everything that people expected. It gave them a real lethalness that was very effective.
Right. The American military has been different way back to George Washington. We just don't follow the rules. Very creative thinkers. And in fact, it's why these guys and gals, frankly, do really well when they get into the civilian sector. They are innovative. They are what I call entrepreneurial. But the military has really clipped their wings. I think it has gotten worse in the last 20 or 30 years by letting the bureaucracy just muck up everything.
So in reading your article, there are some things that sort of planted seeds that maybe can be done to maybe turn this tide. What should DOD be doing?
You know, I start by saying let's not try to manage the whole process. And one of the ways they manage it is they say that everybody that comes in a certain year, Chris, say, is in that year group. And they'll all be promoted lockstep. And there are some easy ways to introduce meritocracy into a system like that. Just break up the year groups. But let hiring be done by local commanders, not by a central bureaucracy. I mean, every job is basically matched by a central bureaucracy for each service. And another thing we could do that private sector folks know about is do 360-degree reviews. You know, let your peers and your subordinates evaluate you, not having just a top-down hierarchy. And I think you'll see some entrepreneurial leaders flourish in a system like that.
It's interesting because we've covered a lot of pay-for-performance systems in government, and they haven't been incredibly successful. And a lot of people say because you don't have the simple metrics. Metrics often in government are much harder. You know, you don't have clear metrics. But what we're talking about here, it seems like we need some kind of not pay for performance, but reward for performance. People who do well instead of just treating everybody exactly the same.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just in terms of evaluations, you don't even have to get into pay for performance, but the evaluation system has gotten to the point where everybody in the Army and in the Air Force and in the Navy, they're all given sort of 5 stars on everything.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard to distinguish who your stars are, or, and that's not even the right way to think about it, but who's talented in what. So you might have an Arabic speaker, but you know what? He's a 5-star just like the guy next to him. So, you know, it's really hard to sort out who goes into what job. Mm. And I think you're never going to have a central bureaucracy that figures that out. You need to give the local generals all around the world the ability to hire who they want to hire and let the chips fall where they may.
And I was reading something in Foreign Policy where they essentially were contending, guess what, we don't have those big thinkers. In the Cold War, we had people thinking about ways of dealing with the Cold War. We don't get that as much these days when we need it a lot. And this may be actually part of that problem.
Right. And, you know, credit to John. I mean, John Nagel left the military, but he's still focused on national security. He leads a national security think tank. But I worry more about the people that we lose at the 5-year point or the 7-year point who, you know, go on to do great things in other sectors. But I'd like to keep, you know, my nightmare is that we lost a David Petraeus, you know, that somewhere along the way there was another David Petraeus or 2 or 10 who just didn't stay in the system. And if they had, I believe that would have saved lives and let us win these wars a lot faster.
One of the more, frankly, depressing parts of your piece is right at the end, you talk to a Captain Smith in the Marine. He was a Marine company commander, and he left to go out to Silicon Valley. He was one of these computer geeks, nerds.
Right.
And you ask him, point blank, would you ever consider coming back? And he says, I just really can't see it. Even if they made that offer, I have no confidence I could pierce the bureaucracy.
I mean, when he said that, I was fishing for a quote, but not that quote.
Right.
What I thought he was going to say is absolutely love to serve, which you often hear from veterans.
Right.
And one of the ridiculous things about the military is it's like the priesthood. Once you leave, you can never come back. And, you know, there are folks who want to go get an MBA at Harvard, and they get accepted, and the Army says, gee, you know what, we really need you to repair trucks in Georgia for another year. And the lack of flexibility to let people pursue what they think is best for their career and then come back and serve. And like Smith, a guy who's a computer genius could come back and do great things, but no, he left.
Yeah.
So there's zero flexibility to letting people back in, and it really hurts.
And part of the really remarkable thing, as I was reading your piece, is you don't talk about money. Pay isn't the issue that is driving folks, and I find this true in a lot of government. People are driven by a mission, by a passion for what they're doing. They just essentially want to be able to do it and be able to do it in the best way possible.
Yeah, I think the military, when they got rid of the draft, which is very similar to the fight that we've got in front of us, they had to change from being an army of slaves to an army of mercenaries. I mean, that was the way it was categorized. But, you know, they had to increase pay. They had to make the treatment of the troops better. And, in fact, it did bring in an incredibly professional, high-quality corps, enlisted and officer. But so pay's really not an issue. Pay's pretty darn good in the military. But you're right. I mean, all these people are driven by patriotism and by the good mission. Even the ones who stay in, when I did a survey, even the folks who are still active duty say the bureaucracy really hurts getting talent in the right locations.
When you were talking to these folks, when you were surveying these folks, did you find that there was a place that they generally ended up?
It's very widespread.
Yeah.
But I was shocked by a study that I found from Korn Ferry that noted that among American CEOs, the probability of a veteran becoming a CEO is 3 times higher than the of a civilian becoming a CEO. So, you know, 10% of our CEOs in America have a military background, but only 3% of the American population has a military background. Great leaders, I think these folks tend to go to the business sector.
And incredible skills that we give these folks and train these folks to really think outside the box.
I really believe our military is different than, you know, the conventional wisdom and most of history, where you had sometimes the dregs of society that were pressed into service,
yeah,
or served as cannon fodder. All those phrases don't really apply to our military, and that's a great source of pride. That said, let's manage them with a little bit more dignity and self-respect and let them manage their own careers. Let's let generals select their own officers, not be assigned. We have a system that kind of has echoes of the Soviet Union. We're trying to manage this market, and it doesn't work. Let the market manage itself, and it will be much better.
Do you get any sense that DOD, leaders on Capitol Hill, leaders in the administration, are they hearing this?
I think there is a lot of this in the military, but it's difficult to have an honest conversation about it, and it's difficult to get reform done. You know, a general gets power in the Army, and he's got it for maybe 3 years before he's cycled out and replaced by the next guy. But the bureaucracy lasts forever. Mm-hmm. So we do need action from Capitol Hill. We do need to create a movement. We need to get, I think, economists involved to take a close look at this and recognize, yes, we all love and admire the military, but that doesn't mean that it's perfect. So let's go ahead and offer them some advice that, frankly, the business sector and the economic academic community has.
And what would that reform look like?
Maybe how GE or IBM manages a large knowledge-based workforce. I mean, there's some lessons there that maybe America didn't know 50 years ago when it was very industrially oriented. But now there are some companies that have best practices, that do smart evaluations. And I bet a lot of listeners know about this. Evaluations of performance have really changed and made organizations better at whatever level. We need to get those lessons back into the military. And part of the change would be to allow what they call lateral entry. Let some workers come back in, maybe who left as a lieutenant. Let them come back in 10, 15 years later as a colonel and bring some of that knowledge with them.